Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to a zesty Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio to the University of Georgia. We're going to go. Stood in front of a crowd of kids for, I called them kids. Ow, my lumbago. For give or take 4 hours, and at times it got, well, a wee bit zesty.
Young man, what's up today?
Hey, I just got a few set of questions that, like, could you answer really quickly and, like, not get into, like, delving into, like, really deep stuff?
Sure.
All right. Where does the universe come from?
God created the universe. Where does God come from?
Who says God's real?
The creation testifies there's a creator.
What about all the other religions?
If they aren't biblical, they're wrong.
Who made the Bible?
Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God had human beings write exactly what he wanted them to write, not like the Quran, not violating their personality, but exactly what he wanted them to say.
How old do you think the universe is?
I'm one of those young earth creation wackos. 6,000, 7,000 years old.
Did you know that Georgia was underneath water 500 million years ago?
Can you prove that?
Yeah.
How? Did you observe it? Who
soil.
Observed that?
Soil, rock records. It's like...
Why not a flood?
Why not a...
Is it possible the flood maybe changed everything in the world?
I just got out of soil class, actually, and a flood would show, like, this huge, huge gray area, like literally a gray area. The soil would be gray. There's layers of sediment.
Has anybody ever observed what you're describing?
I've never observed God.
Are you making any assumptions in what you are saying right now?
I mean, kind of, because I haven't.
You sure are, because nobody's seen it,
and
nobody's observing.
Seen God? Have you ever touched him or smelled him or, like, you know, just have any kind
of... Have you ever seen the wind?
No, but I can feel it.
Bingo! Me too. Okay, not in a mystical, weird way, but I can see the effect of the wind. I can see the effect of God. Look, the trees are moving. There's wind. There's a creation. There's a God.
All right.
Have you ever seen love?
No.
But you know it's true, don't you? You feel it. You know that it's there, right? Right?
Yeah.
Same thing is true with God.
That's kind of different.
Okay.
Okay, so, like, God, I don't think that love created the universe. Don't think, like, love created the Crusades and, like, you know, like, what's it called? The Reposition? Yeah, that guy.
Inquisition.
Right.
Right. Do you know why the Crusades happened? Have you studied that?
Explain to me.
Jerusalem was taken over by Islam. As well as about two-thirds of Western Europe. And it was the Roman Catholic Church in 1093 under Pope Urban II who declared, we got to go help those people who are being killed, whose land has been taken away from them. That's why the Crusades happened. Now, does that mean that everything that happened in the Crusade was good? Certainly not. Just like any war, there were atrocities. But please don't tote out the Crusades as if somehow that disproves the existence of God. You can cite people doing bad things in the name of God. That does not mean that God doesn't exist. That means that people do bad things, period. Don't create the syllogism that says, I don't like bad things, people do bad things, therefore God doesn't exist.
So
it doesn't make sense.
If a person were to do a good deed in the name of not God, is it not good?
Well, let me try this example for you. You know Jerry Sandusky, right?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Okay, let's say that Jerry Sandusky, he wanted to do a good deed and take you out to dinner. Would that be a good deed? Would you like that?
No, I probably wouldn't go out with him.
Would you like it if Adolf Hitler gave you a bouquet of flowers today?
He's dead.
Well, okay. Point is, you look at those guys and you go, ick, they're bad guys. I don't want... Their offering is not good because it comes from dirty hands. Now, you maybe have not killed 6 million people. I presume you have not.
I have not.
But you and I have dirty hands. We have a sin-stained heart, so anything that we do good to God comes from dirty hands, and it's not pleasing to him because of the one who offers it.
That's if you... I don't believe in sin. I don't believe...
I bet you do.
I don't. I think...
Was Jerry Sandusky wrong?
I think he was wrong.
Was he sinning?
He did wrong.
Okay, can I say that doing wrong is a sin?
If that's what you want to call it.
Okay, so you and I agree that there is sin in this world.
I don't think there's a person who will judge us.
Okay, that's different, though. Let's see if we can observe. Is there sin in the world?
Relative to who? Yeah, relative to who?
Great question. My relative standard is God. Okay, who's your standard?
My standard?
Yep. So you're the standard of right and wrong for the universe. For you. All right, just accept my history in general. At the year zero, there was something called the pre-modern world. In the West, basically people said God exists, the church is right, the Bible is right, no questions asked. But then came the Renaissance, the Protestant Reformation, starting to question the church. And so science stepped in, a time called empiricism, humanism, right? And we decided we've got the answer. Well, it didn't work out so good because you look at the 20th century, more wars than any other century. And so in 1989, the falling of the Berlin Wall, in a sense, we agreed, you know what? Man doesn't have the answer. God doesn't. Man doesn't. I guess nobody does. I'll look to myself for truth. Hey, now, here's the analogy. Consider it a baseball game. In the pre-modern world, you called them as they are. In the modern era, empiricism, I call them as I see them. In the postmodern world, which is the world that you are living in, I call them and that is what they are. Do you hear the difference? So the ball can be high and outside, but you say it's a strike, and it's a strike because that's what you called it. You are living in a postmodern mindset. You have been taught this from childhood, and I'm hearing it all over the place today. I'm a pre-modern, all right? I believe the truth is either true or not. No matter how, I might be, but that's still irrelevant. Amen. I believe that St. Paul is the greatest city in the world. Now you're gonna say, well, that's because you were born there and you live there. Okay, that could be, but that doesn't determine whether or not St. Paul is the best city in the world.
It's arbitrary.
No, it's not. Either St. Paul is the best city or it's not. There's nothing arbitrary about truth. What is 7 times 7? It's not 804. It is either true or not. And I'm simply here, maybe this is so strange to your ears, because sir, you're a product of your environment just like I am. I agree. But one of us has it right or one of us has it wrong.
That's also arbitrary.
Is that statement arbitrary?
In a sense, yeah.
Okay, so why would I accept your arbitrary statement if it means nothing? Okay, we don't live that way. And you're not living. Why are you going to college? You guys should be
here
to proclaim to you the truth.
No, because I'm going to school and getting an education, which is the truth.
All right.
Is that statement true?
Is that statement true?
Yeah, that was true.
Oh, wait a second. I thought there was no truth.
That I'm paying to go to truth.
Empirical evidence.
Now that you're getting truth here.
No,
okay, you think your worldview is right, correct?
I think what I believe might be okay for me.
Okay, sir, answer this question for me. All right. I believe that when I die, if I'm singing a Miley Cyrus song, I will spend eternity in Nashville, Tennessee, living in a mansion with Billy Ray Cyrus, and all of our servants will have mullets from the 80s. That's what I believe.
That would be sweet.
All right. That's pretty good, man.
Am I wrong?
Said by who? Who would tell you you're wrong?
Am I right or wrong?
Who would tell you you're right?
Good question.
You? Because you're on the stage with a mic. Well, you know it, man.
It's the way it works.
Did Jesus tell you to just do exactly what you're doing? Just like, hey, guys, I have this one truth. You guys probably haven't figured it out yet, but there's this dude out there, and he's pretty cool, and whatever he said, I'm going to believe, and now I'm going to do his work and tell all of you, okay? Because I'm doing the right thing right now. I'm up on the stage, and I'm like, hey, I'm a f***ing messiah. Excuse my language, but am I being blunt, or is this guy being kind of blunt?
Okay, sir, am I going to be in Nashville with Billy Ray for eternity or not?
Do whatever you want, man.
I hope so.
All right, that's postmodernism. Thank you for talking to us. I appreciate it.
Hey, you just mentioned history.
Yeah.
You just said the world is like 7,000 years old?
Give or take.
You know, like, the Japanese were making pottery before then?
Prove it.
It's literally in the soil. Like,
Prove it. Who was there? Who witnessed it? Are you making any assumptions? Are you trusting dating mechanisms?
Yes,
has everything been exactly the same way that it's always been? Are you uniformitarianism, or has the universe ever changed? Has the carbon-14 dating system, has the decay rate of the carbon-14 molecule ever changed? Do you know that? You don't know. Did you know that the majority of dating systems point to a young Earth?
Hey,
did you know that?
Would you stop interrupting me just for 1 second? Because,
all right,
is anyone here going to be converted? No? All right, well then, can we just have a conversation then and stop interrupting me? Yeah? Okay. The world is not 7,000 years old. The universe is not.
Say what?
4.66 GA. That's what he said.
You know, when I was your age, it wasn't that old. It's about 3.8 billion. So your theory, your worldview has changed. So were those people in my time wrong? Were they wrong? Could they be wrong today?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So your worldview is a little shaky then.
It's called learning.
All right, so your scientific perspective on the universe is a little suspect, correct? Right?
It's called research and then change and then like...
So you don't know.
No.
So what you're learning in that science class book could be wrong.
The only reason you say you're right is because of what's in the Bible.
So it seems that we both have faith.
By imperfect men, as you say.
We both have faith then, right? You put your faith in science books, I put my faith in the Bible.
I have my faith in what is around me. I believe in that tree behind you, and I believe that it came from a seed, that it came from another seed, that came from another seed. It was made out of DNA. That's just how the universe works.
So we're both men of faith. You're a man of faith, right? You believe in science.
It's just getting warmed up. We'll continue with our Zesty Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day, literally every day. People are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
It's amazing, isn't it? With all the TV channels and streaming services, how little there really is to watch on television. Well, what's worth watching? So, with most folks stuck inside a whole lot more right now, you've probably run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. Well, look no further. Wretched has got you covered. Wretched TV. Visit wretched.org/TV for over 2,600 episodes of sound biblical teaching. You'll see live witnessing encounters, hear topics ranging from pneumatology to abortion to counseling, and hear relevant topics in the Christian community. Wretched.org/TV. So do yourself a favor. Take a break from the multitude of channels and all the streaming services that offer, well, really nothing, and binge watch Wretched TV instead. Visit wretched.org/TV for all things wretched. That's wretched.org/TV. Now, where's my clicker?
Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound, it feels so financial, so cold, so detached. So permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabella.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor, but he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Decisions. This is a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio at the University of Georgia. Got a little zesty, sometimes cooler, sometimes a little bit hotter. Nevertheless, spent hours doing some open-air preaching with a number of students who had the courage, applaud them for that, to step up to the microphone and bring their question. Zzz. You're about to hear a young lady who is a Roman Catholic who wanted to ask me a question. Zzz. Listen to her preamble. Listen for her question. And if you are trying to sort out, well, what is she after? The answer is, well, I wasn't totally sure. And she gave me a lot of options, and she was actually asking a lot of questions, and that's going to happen to you too. Whether it's open-air preaching or one-on-one evangelism, people tend to throw in a lot into one blop. The question then is, well, which one of those blops am I going to take? Which one of those paths am I going to go down? You have to pick. And you're going to hear my response. You may have selected something else that she said to go off on. But here's the filter that I'm using. I want to get to the gospel. I can deal with all kinds of issues and objections that she brings up. But my goal, especially with a crowd of people gathered, is I want to get to the gospel.
Yes, young lady.
Okay. Hello. I'm Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Catholic, so a majority of the things you do say, I do believe in.
Right,
and
I know.
I know there's a lot of people out here right now. I can hear it in the crowd. A lot of people are asking, why are you out here if you know that you're probably not going to convert people? And the thing is, I know I'm not going to convert you, and you know you're not going to convert everyone, but that's the point of this, right? This is an exchange of ideas. And my idea that I wish to exchange today is what I believe in religion. The main point of religion is to answer our questions, to help us know how we're supposed to live and what the meaning of life is supposed to be. But if the world is such a vast place and so many people grew up in so many different situations and conditions, doesn't that mean everyone has different questions to ask? Doesn't that mean they're going to require different answers? I'm very Catholic, and I was totally born and raised in Christian ideals, but I also feel like it's okay to accept that some people are going to need different ways to live their life. They're going to need different answers. And that might mean that Catholicism or even Christianity isn't the one that's going to provide those answers. So you said that Adolf Hitler could be forgiven if he would repent and be have humility. And I understand that, and I believe that. But I have a friend who's a Sikh, who's one of the most humble people I've ever met. And he's never going to convert to Christianity. But does that mean he's going to go to hell? If God truly loves him, and if my friend truly lives in the way that Christians also try to strive for, I don't feel like God would hate him much to send him.
I haven't done a good job of proclaiming something clearly then, okay? You just used the law and said that we need to try to be good. I'm here to proclaim I'm bad, and the Bible says we're all bad. Nobody does good. We all fall short of God's standard. You, me, the Sikh, the Muslim, everybody. Nobody does good. No, not one. I'm here to proclaim, don't try harder. Don't work harder. Instead, repent and put your trust in Jesus. He worked best. He worked hardest. All of that goodness credited to your account because he is good and you're not. That's biblical Christianity. And with all due respect, that is not what Roman Catholicism teaches. The Council of Trent, 1543, lasted about 5 years. It said that if you believe in grace alone, which is what I'm proclaiming to you, faith alone, which is what I'm screaming as loudly as I can, and Jesus Christ alone, your church said, I'm anathema, I am damned. They understood the difference between imputed and infused righteousness. You believe that when you are baptized, you get an injection, you're infused with righteousness, and then through works of love and charity, doing the sacraments, confessing your sins, not committing any mortal sins, you then become righteous, and then you are justified. What I'm proclaiming is Jesus Christ justifies the ungodly. Then we do good things in response to what has been done for us, and that is called imputed righteousness. I am credited with the righteousness of Jesus, forgiven because of his passive obedience, made righteous because he kept all the laws for me. He has done it all, credited to me, completely forgiven. That's not what Rome teaches. So you and I don't believe the same thing about justification and salvation. So we are different, okay?
Because we have different questions.
No, because we understand the truth differently. One of us has it right, one of us has it wrong. And that's what people have always understood. And that's why your church said, I'm anathema. They believed I'm wrong. And I'm okay with that. I'm not hurt. I'm not offended. I'm not going to go blow up the Vatican. Okay? I disagree. They disagree. We disagree. So why am I here today? To persuade you of the truth. I cannot do that, but I believe the Holy Spirit of God can convert you when you hear about the true Jesus. When you hear that you don't have to go to a man in a confessional booth. You don't have to pray to Mary. Run to Jesus. He's your one intercessor between God and man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. No works, no prayers, no beads. Run to Jesus. Grace alone, faith alone, in Him alone. Because if you're trying to earn God's favor, then you will be cast out, because God will not have a work-righteous person in His kingdom. They will only be there by His grace and mercy. So my Roman Catholic friend, we disagree. I do not hate you. I care about you, and I want you to go to heaven by Jesus' merits, not yours. Okay?
Sir, I'm the first to proclaim that there is a lot wrong with my religion, and there's a lot that's been done wrong in history and even today.
All right.
But there's always a spectrum as well. Just because we go under a certain label doesn't mean we believe one certain thing. Maybe some people are more...
Do you believe in grace alone? Grace alone. No works, just Jesus. Grace alone. Do you believe that?
I do have grace, but I also feel like you should try to strive to be as good as a person
Why?
You can be.
Why?
Why should we strive to be someone that's bad?
No, why should you strive to do good things?
Why wouldn't you strive to do good things?
I'm asking you, why would you strive to do good things? This is really important.
I strive to do good things because I'm a human, and I'm terribly flawed, and I do terrible things all the time. But I try to do good because I know that to do good is to perpetuate God's love.
Okay, I understand that. Let me tell you what what I believe the Bible says. All right? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son as a sacrifice for us. God demonstrated His love by dying for us while we were yet sinners. He did it all. Then, when I rest in His works, then I want to do good works because of what has been done for me. And so, if you're striving to please God with your works, you cannot. Jesus did. Jesus will see that your sins are forgiven, you're credited with His righteousness, and then when God looks at you, even when you're sinning, He sees you as righteous because He sees you through the work of Jesus. That's grace, and that's the Protestant distinctive, and that's why the Reformation happened. And so, if you are feeling a burden of doing, striving, kind of, and maybe God will, I'm here to declare to you, come unto Him and He will give you rest. He will forgive all of your sins, past, present, future, and then you'll spend your life so grateful. You'll try to do good things, not with a burden, but with a joy because of what's been done for you. Okay?
I never said it was a burden. I do it because I want to perpetuate good, because I love
I do it because I've been shown love by Jesus. That's why I do it. And I think that's why we're supposed to do it. That's what 1 John is on about. We love because we've been shown love. Not to perpetuate something, not to do something, but because I've been shown so much love, I want to love you and the poor and the hungry and the needy. Not because it's a work that I've got to do or to perpetuate good. Wow, God did this for me. I want to do that for them. That is a response to grace. Make sure you understand the difference, okay?
So you're saying that people who don't believe, who are Muslim, who are Sikh, who have no religion at all, they can't love?
I didn't say that.
They can't want to do good, not
sure.
Because it's
yeah, they
a burden,
can. Sure, they can.
But because they just want to do good, because it brings them joy, and because they see other people that
sure.
benefit
yeah.
from it.
Yeah. Sure, they can do good, all right? But that doesn't mean they're pleasing to God.
So they're damned then.
Because they sin.
We all sin.
And fall short of the glory of God. You just quoted a Bible verse, Romans 3.
Yes. I'm not trying to.
You just did. Everybody here has sinned. Do we agree?
Yes.
All right. So if God is just, what should He do with sinners? What should God do with sinners?
He loves them regardless. And he
God, in a general sense, loves everybody.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean they're in a right relationship with him. God causes the rain to fall on the evil and the good. God is so good, he provides food for Adolf Hitler and Jerry Sandusky and for all of us. That's how good God is. In a general sense, we are all God's children. But that doesn't mean we're in a right relationship with the Father unless we have a relationship with his Son. There is one mediator between God and man, Jesus. And so we have to have Jesus if we're going to have the Father.
You will have oodles of options which path you choose to go down. Might I encourage you, as often as possible, go down the yellow brick road of the gospel, whether it's open air preaching or one-on-one evangelism, because, well, that is the gold. This is Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Want to get to this really quick so we can get to a big surprise at the end. This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday at the University of Georgia. A young man, rather antagonistic. You're going to hear that exchange, and then you're going to hear a surprise.
Does this guy not have the best radio voice you've ever heard? Come on, give us something.
Okay, so I love Chick-fil-A malts. Do you love them? Do you ever try?
Who else is about repressing gay rights and eating Chick-fil-A sauce? Anybody? Come on, all right, get going.
Let me just finish the Chick-fil-A thing and then we'll tangle.
Okay, all right? Go, all right. Let's do it.
Now, if you like a Chick-fil-A banana malt, right, and you go up to somebody and you go, dude, you gotta try this. Can you imagine them going, hey, whoa, don't you impose your beliefs on me. I'm not imposing my beliefs on you. I'm telling you about something better than a banana malt at Chick-fil-A. I'm telling you about Jesus. I'm not trying to impose my beliefs on you. I'm trying to share with you something that is good. So I'm not trying to smash my faith on you. I'm trying to share with you something good. But, all right, dude, what's
okay,
the issue?
Cool. I've got a question. The question that I have is, like, you know, if you're actually anti-evolution and procreationism and, you know, that's, again, your thing, what's the problem with that?
Believing in evolution?
Yeah.
It's wrong.
I mean, but what, right, that guy is
I don't think you're a monkey. I don't think you're an animal.
Yeah, but I mean, I never said I was an animal. The way that I understand it, based on my faith in science, is that we both came from a common ancestor.
Sure.
I mean, are you your father?
No.
No.
Right.
Are you the combination of your father and mother?
I'm a human, and so was he.
The thing that frustrates me so much about these conversations is it's just like, is it so hard to just say that God did all of that, like put the start at the beginning?
Yeah. Well, there's some Christians who would say God evolved the earth, okay?
Right.
I think they're wrong too. I don't think that doesn't make them a Christian. I just think they're wrong. I think the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Uh-huh.
And then he calls them days in the evening and the morning, or the first day, second day, third day, etc.
Right.
6 24-hour days, not gazillions of years.
Uh-huh.
Where do you think this speaker came from, young man?
China, right, likely.
All right. Where in China did it come from?
Yeah, probably around Shenzhen.
All right. And what type of place did it come from in whatever that is you just said?
A factory, I guess.
Now, are you sure that that speaker came from a factory?
No, absolutely not.
Really?
Right.
Where else could it have come from?
It could have been handmade. You could have made it.
Okay, so somebody made it.
Mm-hmm.
In their house, in a barn, in a factory.
Right.
Are you sure somebody made that speaker?
No.
You're not?
No.
Well, who else could have done this?
It could have automatically come together. That's the thing, is that
Do you think this could have automatically come together?
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on.
I know it seems unlikely, but that's the amazing thing about it. I mean, that's the
evolution's
truth.
A miracle, is what you're saying.
If it was, would that make it necessarily happen by God? No, just because they're changing words.
I just like to hear atheists say that something was a miracle. That was just a cheapie. Okay. This speaker, you think it came from chance?
Just out of curiosity. Who, after hearing that, was like, oh, snap?
Okay.
All right.
That was honest. Yeah. Do you think that came from chance and time?
Is it unlikely? Absolutely.
No, it's 99.9%. It's impossible.
No, there's nothing is impossible. I mean, you don't necessarily know what the elements were to get that together. I mean, you don't.
Sure I do. I just look at it and I go, well, there had to be some sort of thing that made some plastic and some sound stuff and some wires. Somebody put it together, because it is.
But do you understand that that's based entirely on your perception? Like, because you've seen that happen multiple times.
I haven't ever seen that happen.
No, but what are you assuming?
I didn't see this university get built, but I know somebody built it.
But that's because
the evidence is a builder is the building.
Right.
I don't need to know who the architect was.
But you see,
all I know is the result is it was intelligently designed. There's an intelligent designer. It's irrefutable. And there's something inside of you, dude, that has to go, yeah, I know.
No, there's not, dude. I don't know what is. I don't know why.
You think that your intricately designed body came together by luck?
No, it could have. Your perception's off, man.
It could have. Name something on this campus that's organized and designed, that has a purpose, that transmits information, that can actually be received and interpreted, that happened all by itself.
Lichen. On any single one of these trees, there are lichen all over there. It's a symbiotic relationship that happened
from?
By itself.
Okay.
Where did the actual elements come from? From exploding stars, millions and millions
of
years
ago.
Okay,
so a big explosion organized all this?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Name an example of something else blowing up and getting organized.
And getting organized afterwards?
When you add a lot of power without any design, what gets organized from that?
But what is this?
It's you jumping up and down?
What's holding me to the ground right now? We'll do this.
Gravity.
Gravity coalesces things together of great mass. Would you agree with that or no?
Sure. Gravity works. Yes.
Cool. Okay. So when a star explodes at the end of its life, all that dust, it expands outwards. It's nebulae. Okay. Christian scientists have seen nebulae and agree that they exist. Unless we're talking about the spheres, in which case I think you're a little bit too far.
Okay, so keep it simple.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay. Don't use that big science words. Okay. It coalesces together. Okay. And forms things like planets, like stars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unless you can find some other way to explain why nuclear fusion is happening and warming us up today, I mean, I can, but
here's my question for you, friend. Okay, where did the gravity come from?
Where did the gravity come from?
Yes.
It was a physical law that happened by luck when the universe expanded.
Do you know that for sure?
No. Do you know that God did it for sure?
Yes.
Okay, so there we go.
Where did the stuff come from, everybody?
It only works if you say that you know something for sure.
Yeah. Where did the stuff come from?
Where did the stuff come from?
All this stuff.
Where did God come from?
Good question.
There we go, dude. You don't know either.
You know what?
That's
so we both have the same issue. We both have an infinite regress problem, correct?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Right?
But your way to fix it is just go, whatever.
Whereas my way to fix it is to go and do experiments. Nothing doesn't become something. Something has to exist that is eternal if anything exists. If you want proof that there is a God or an intelligent designer, you've got it right here. You've got stuff. In order to disprove God, you've got to get rid of everything. You simply cannot explain where this came from. I want to go to your conscience for a moment.
Okay.
Do you have one?
I would think so, yes.
All right. Is your conscience clear?
Is my conscience clear?
Yes, sir.
No. I'm the worst person to ask if my conscience is clear.
Okay, so you've done wrong things.
I assume so, yes.
Okay, now we'll just bypass the whole concept of right or wrong as a Christian concept, but you know that you've done bad things.
Yeah.
You've done sinful things?
All the time.
Okay, so assuming, of course, that that's a sin against God.
Presumably, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm certainly seeing God a lot during a...
Okay.
Sorry, man.
And lust.
All the time.
And lying or cheating. Or pornography. Dishonoring your mother, your father.
Like, if you had any idea,
okay. So here's my question.
Yeah.
Why is it troubling you? How does your worldview help your conscience?
How does my worldview help my conscience?
Yes, sir.
I feel like every day there's going to be an opportunity for me to get on a microphone and talk in front of everybody.
All right. Can I talk for a minute?
Go ahead.
All right. Let me tell you why I came here today.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
It's not because I hate you.
No, I don't think you hate me. I don't even know your name, actually.
My name's Todd.
My name's Jimmy Russell.
Nice to meet you, Jimmy.
Thanks.
I came here because I actually, this will maybe sound strange to you, and don't go goofy on me, but I love you and I care about you. I don't want you to live your life with that guilty conscience fearing the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your perception of Jesus has been in the past,
mm-hmm.
right? But this is Jesus, God himself, who holds the universe in the span of his hand. If you think the universe is big, he's bigger.
His hand must be at least
there's gazillions of stars in this universe, and there's a gazillion universes, and he knows every star by name, and not one of them is lost.
Well, he knows, just brought about the multiverse.
And he knows your name,
uh-huh.
and he knows what you're doing, and he knows your thought life, and he knows every deed that's done in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And as disgusting and filthy as it may have been, it probably was, he still loves you.
Okay.
And he died to save you. Here's the story.
Yeah.
God saw you in your swamp, and despite your filth, he said, I'm going to rescue him, and I'm going to demonstrate how magnificent and how kind and how good and how loving I am. I'm willing to save a guy named Todd, and I'm willing to save a guy named Jimmy, and I'm willing to save anybody here. And I'm going to demonstrate that love so that they will find me so amazing they will want to run to me.
Mm.
I'm going to send my beloved son to live a perfect life on their behalf, to take the punishment that they deserve for their law breaking, for whatever dirty deeds you've done, for every activity that's been a crime against God. He saw it, he knew it. The punishment that deserves, he placed on Jesus Christ on your behalf.
Right.
So that in exchange, when you step into the courtroom of God's justice, he will see you as not guilty because Jesus paid your fine. Because he is good,
okay.
and he is rich in mercy. I'm almost done.
Okay.
and he's, and yes, he's rich in mercy.
Uh-huh.
And he's demonstrated his kindness to you by dying for you, a sinner. So here's why I came here today.
Uh-huh.
To tell you that God does love you,
uh-huh.
and he will save you. But if you don't repent and put your trust in him, he is the God with whom you must do. And you will face him, and you will stand there, and you will tell jokes, and they will not fly. And
that's
you will
okay.
tell stories, and they're not going to sell.
I'm getting a very lukewarm reaction.
God will see you for what you are,
uh-huh.
and he will give you what you deserve. And the thing that you deserve is his wrath, and he will give it to you, and you will not
okay
be able to drink the cup of
I'm
his
okay
wrath.
I'm okay with that, because like
hell
Santa
is eternal
is
conscious torment, and
you don't
will
believe.
Spend there languishing in pain, wishing that you would listen to me this day and responded and run to Jesus Christ as your Savior, your God. You can reject him. It doesn't change the fact of the matter. He's your God, and he is your judge, and he will give you what you have earned for yourself. But this day, he offers to give
you
mercy. He offers to give you grace. He offers to save you. Repent and put your trust in him. If you don't, you'll remember this day forever. I promise you. All right. Anything else you got there?
Look, I don't hate you, man. But I think you're
you
extremely
either.
Misguided.
Here's the surprise. He stuck around for hours and apologized to me for his behavior. Good on you, young man. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks much for being here. Appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day with us at Wretched Radio. Love it when you get a hold of us, whether it's a question, a comment, a conundrum, or a snark, maybe sharing your wretched story with us, or sending us a news story you think we should see. Idea@wretched.org works great, or Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP. Can I share something from the mailbag? From Amy, hello, Wretched. I'm very, very grateful to God for you and for your ministry. God has brought you into my life at the perfect time. Your daily companionship and wisdom has been life-saving and life-changing. If you'd like to share with us, idea@wretched.org or Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP. If you would like to partner with us to make more emails like that possible, go to wretched.org/donate. Consider becoming a Wretched Gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And in the meantime, while we in the West are still experiencing struggles and challenges courtesy of COVID in Eastern Europe, the effects have been even more profound. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's continuing their great ministry work in European countries.
Right now, Tomorrow Club leaders are putting together more than 2,000 care packages to deliver to the neediest families in the towns and villages we serve. The packages will provide enough food for a couple of weeks, basic food items like buckwheat, macaroni, rice, canned meat, oil. There's even a package of candies for the kids and, in some places, seeds for the garden. And because because most of these packages will be going to unbelieving families. Along with the food items, there'll be a simple gospel presentation.
Would you please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs at this time? Wonderful gospel ministry reaching the poorest of the poor in Eastern Europe. Please learn more. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Don't know about you, but during these hard and difficult times, I'm getting really tired of hearing about these hard and difficult times. So, for some much-needed distraction, might I suggest a visit to the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. There you can find full-length Wretched TV episodes, full-length, hour-long Wretched radio shows, and the Wretched Store for all things of the biblical resources bent. While you're there, you can also become a gospel partner. Without the support of our Wretched Gospel partners, you wouldn't be hearing my voice because, honestly, there would be no Wretched. Your giving allows Wretched to stay on the air and to reach people with the gospel each and every day. If you are already a gospel partner, please know that we are extremely grateful for you. And if you are not, would you consider becoming one? Visit wretched.org or wretched.org/donate for all the details on becoming a gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It was a zesty day at UGA. Hey, I'm a rapper fellow. This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday, taking you to the University of Georgia. You know, when we used to get to assemble and do open-air preaching, a large crowd of kids had gathered around. We were talking back and forth for a number of hours. Sometimes it got a little bit zesty, but regularly we were able to preach the prize. When you're doing open-air preaching, when you're evangelizing, there's all kinds of conversations you can have. Apologetics, sweet, but nothing gets people saved unless they hear the gospel. So make it your aim to return relentlessly to the gospel. And that is what I tried to do when we wrapped it up after a pretty zesty day at the University of Georgia.
I didn't come here to annoy you and get up your nose. I really didn't. And I didn't come here to proclaim I'm better than you. I came here to tell you I'm the chief of sinners. But I was shown mercy so that you could see God's patience. If you knew how bad I was and am, and yet Jesus has shown me mercy, you would be staggered at the goodness of God. So I didn't come here to condescend or to make you feel like you're an idiot. Not at all. All of you people are smarter than I am. I'm simply here to proclaim to you what the Bible teaches. And if you disagree, it's okay. We don't hate each other. We're exchanging ideas here, all right? And it's okay that we disagree. It doesn't mean we hate each other, okay? Young man, fire away.
I just want to say that I'm not here to mock you or anything like that, as some people have done. And I just have certain questions that I want you to answer, if you can answer.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that faith and knowledge go hand in hand? Are they compatible with each other?
Yes, but I think faith comes before true knowledge.
True knowledge.
Yeah.
So you don't think that faith is true knowledge?
They're not. Oh, sure, it is. Yes, sir. But you can't understand true knowledge without faith. If you're an atheist or an agnostic, you're going to love this because it's going to look really weak. But I don't think that your understanding of the truth of the Bible, that you can have that without faith, okay? I think it's 1 Corinthians 2. God has to illuminate it for you. And so I think, I will say this, and I know this makes the atheist just kind of gleeful. I got it. But you put your trust in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you will see that this stuff is true because your thinking will get righted, okay? We're fallen. It's called Imago Dei. We're made in the image of God, but we're fallen creatures, so our thinking is off. All right? So we don't think right without God.
So you're okay with me asking these questions?
Sure.
Okay. So I wanted to ask about free will and what you think about it.
I think we have it.
How you explain it with God and faith.
Yeah. We have free will, and God does what he wants.
God does what he wants.
Yes, sir.
Okay. How do we have free will?
How do we have free will? Because we make decisions, we make choices.
Which is given to us by God.
our free will?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm asking you.
Sure. It's a question. I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that? Or
sure.
Is it true?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. So if God gave us free will,
yep.
and he has knowledge of all things, correct?
Yep.
So before we were even made, before he made us, as you say, he already knew that we're going to be anything we're going to be. He already knew Adolf
yes,
Hitler.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's
Adolf
right.
Hitler was going to kill
right.
6 million
yeah.
Jews.
Yeah, right.
He knew all that.
Yeah.
And he created everything that's around us. He created everything we're made of.
Yeah.
So how is it that we have free will to do everything we want to do when he knows what we're going to do? He's made us in the way he already yeah. has what we're going to be in
that's
his
a
mind
great question.
Before he makes us.
That's a great question. Yeah, it falls underneath the category of sovereignty of God. That God is controlling the universe. He knows everything that is going to happen, including the day you were born and the day you die. Now, does that mean that he is imposing his will on you at all times? And the answer to that is no. You actually make free, genuine choices. Now, are there times when God could perhaps get you to turn left when you wanted to turn right? Sure, I think that's the exception to the way things work. But God is sovereign. This is working out exactly the way that he wants it to. He will see to that providentially, which means he operates completely independent of everybody. He is providentially running the world in a sovereign way. Everything is going to turn out just the way that he wants, and you've got free will along the way.
Let's say this universe is God's book, and he's written it.
Okay.
Every letter and every word he's written.
Yeah.
Every sentence.
Yep.
So we are part of that book. How is it that we have free will if he's written everything that's supposed to happen?
Yeah, I would just be repeating myself.
How so?
God has ordained everything.
Yes.
And you have free will.
How is that I have free will if he's created me in every
way?
You
make genuine choices, and God is making sure that everything is working out exactly the way that he wants it
to. But those choices were already written.
No, they were written because he knew that's what was going to happen.
But he's already written it, like, okay, if he's written it in a certain way, then how is it that I'm going to change that way? Can I change it? Can I do otherwise than what he's
written? Then what has been foreordained? Of course not.
So how is that I'm free? If I can't do otherwise than what I want to do, what's going to happen?
You are going to make the decisions that God knew you were going to make. You're going to do exactly everything that God knew you were going to do.
Exactly.
And he is working that out providentially in his plan, sovereignly running the universe to have it happen exactly the way that he wants.
So how can I be blamed for something I do if he's already...
Because
already
you've done it.
I know I did it because he's written it.
No, he's written it because you're going to do it.
Why would he write something that I'm going to do? If I'm going to do something bad, why would he write it down?
That's a different question, and that's a very good question to ask. Who then is responsible for evil? Is that what you're maybe digging for here?
Yes.
Okay, you are. I am. The world is. If it's good, God. If it's bad, man.
That's
now, why does God allow evil to happen? If God is good, why doesn't he stop everything? Okay, well, this is, if anybody here is a parent, you're going to have children, you know they're going to sin and do bad.
But don't compare our parents.
Fair enough. I will remove the analogy.
Okay.
The reason that this world exists is really simple. All right. Sometimes people hear the story of Adam and Eve and they think, uh-oh, they ate the fruit, plan B, God huddled the angels together. What do we do now? Uh-uh. It was God's foreordained, prearranged plan that he would create a universe with people in it, Adam and Eve. Adam was your federal representative. Whether you liked it or not, Adam represented you. He sinned. God knew he would sin. Throwing the world into sin, and we see the effects everywhere with everything. Why did he do this? Because God wanted to demonstrate his attributes of mercy, grace, and loving kindness. God is Trinitarian. Three persons, one God. God has lots of attributes. Power, truth, all right? And he can show off those attributes to himself between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But he has attributes like mercy and grace and loving kindness. And God doesn't need mercy or grace because he's not a sinner. Ah, so for him to show his mercy, grace, and loving kindness, he created a planet knowing that we would sin, not causing us to sin, knowing that we would sin in his prearranged plan so that he could send his son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, to live under the law, to redeem those of us under the curse of the law, so that for the ages to come, God could point to sinners like you and me and say, if you want to know how merciful I am, I saved that guy. If you want to know how gracious I am, I saved that woman. If you want to know how kind I am, I saved that group of people, which is called the church. You were created to glorify God. And the way that you glorify God is by getting saved and forgiven so that God can point to you as a representation, a trophy of his grace. That's the reason for your existence. We have to stop this because apparently some people said that what we are doing is not something that they're liking here in the free speech area. All right? Let me please state this as loudly and clearly as I can. If I am coming off as pompous and self-righteous, you know what? You're right. I am pompous and self-righteous. I admit it. I am pride-filled, but let's dig deeper. I'm also a liar. I've stolen things. I've looked at things I shouldn't. My feet have taken me to places where they shouldn't go. All right? I'm the chief of sinners, and I simply came here today to plead with you. Truth is not valid by whether you believe it or not. Truth is right if it is true or not. And Jesus said he's the way, the truth, the life. So I came here today to proclaim to you, please consider your options. What system will allow you to have your sins forgiven? God has provided a way in Jesus. And Jesus himself, if he were standing here, would be shut down because he would be deemed intolerant, because he's the one who said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through him. My plea with you is this. Leave here today disagreeing or agreeing, but don't leave here saying it doesn't matter. Because if Jesus is right, it does matter. And truth matters. And Jesus Christ wants to forgive you. And so I will do a shout out again. If you went to church as a kid but you backslidden, come to Jesus for the first time in repentance and faith. If you've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, hearing that he will forgive all of your sins and grant you everlasting life because of his goodness, repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. If you have been in a work righteous system trying to earn God's favor, Jesus says you can't, but he has. Repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ today. He stands ready to forgive. Anyone who comes to him in humility, he will not cast out. So thank you for your attention. Thank you for your time.
Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. If you have not repented and put your trust in him, I'm afraid he's your enemy. And you will face him on the day he chooses. And the books will be opened and you will receive the just due, your reward for your sinful behavior. But this day he offers you terms of peace. Why would you not surrender to the one who demonstrated his love by dying for you while you were yet a sinner? This is the good news of the gospel. If you have never responded, I implore you, today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your heart. Do not let this day pass without repenting and putting your trust in the friend of sinners. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.